Welcome to the M2I Alternative Investments Chat, where we demystify the world of alternative investments and financing for entrepreneurs and investors alike. With these discussions, we hope you're more empowered to unlock opportunities in your business or portfolio.
Hello, and welcome to Alternative Investments Chat. I am your host, Erica, with my co-host, Erin. And today we're discussing the democratization of alternative investments, how they've become more accessible to individuals and individual investors, and why that shift even matters.
Yeah, absolutely. So alternative investments in the past have been difficult for individual investors, like a retail investor, to access. But now it has become more readily available to these retail investors. We'll get more into why that is. But partially, we can see that the shift has happened due to our increased accessibility to technology and different platforms that have become available to bring alternative investments to people's fingertips, literally, and also different product development that has happened in the industry over time. So in this episode, we're going to be discussing specifically some things that we've learned from the Kaya Report. The Kaya Association is a very big name in the financial space. We could talk more about that, but we'll reserve that for your own individual Google. Yeah. but first, we should discuss how that shift from institutional investing to individual investing has happened.
Yeah. So Kaya actually is like the leader and the knowledge hub for where a lot of this information comes. So them putting out this report is really great. In fact, in this episode, it's just a few pages that we're covering. Mm-hmm. So this report is really big, robust, and they are the knowledge head. Mm-hmm. So let's start with that big picture. So the concept of democratizing alternative investments focuses on increasing access, like you were mentioning, mm-hmm. to a broader set of investors, including individual investors and small institutions. It's not just for the big guys anymore. Let's bring it down to the regular people. So traditionally, alternative investments such as private equity, hedge funds, private debt, real estate, and infrastructure were largely restricted to those big players mm-hmm. because they had all the money mm-hmm. and that's what you needed. And not only the money, but there is very, very complex structures. There's mm-hmm. those high fees, longer investment horizons, and again, just needing that cash flow, mm-hmm. which we, a lot of times, as small guys, don't have.
That's right. Exactly, Erica. So now the landscape of alternative investments is shifting, which we've kind of touched on in our podcast in general. But the Kaya Report really goes into some of these really specific factors that are playing into that. One of them being shrinking public markets. More companies are staying private as opposed to going public. And in innovation and product structure, new products like feeder funds, interval funds, and tokenized LP shares are lowering the minimum investment thresholds and increasing liquidity options for individual investors, which is attractive. And also the rise of digital platforms. This allows individual investors to have direct access to alternative investments, sometimes even just from their phone, like peer-to-peer lending opportunities, crowd investing, and a fractional ownership of collectibles.
Okay, I'm going to stop you because you said something that really piques my interest, mm-hmm. and I want to dive into it just like a little bit more. So more companies aren't going public. They're saying private.
Yeah.
Why? What the heck? What's going on?
I'm like, great question.
Tell me about that.
So there are several factors that can be contributing to this. One of them being high costs. It's very expensive to go public. Another thing could be increased regulatory compliance or having less control over the company if you go public. Some owners of a company might feel that they have less control, which could be unattractive for them. And continuous reporting requirements that are very strenuous or can be very strenuous on a company.
Sounds like you just have a little bit more eyeballs on you when you start going public. Yeah. They start looking at everything, right?
Absolutely, for sure. Going public isn't a bad thing. I mean, obviously there's plenty of companies that are public. Just look at the stock exchange.
Yeah.
And it can bring in more capital if done correctly. But these other factors for some companies are outweighing the positives of going public.
Okay. Now I understand a little bit more. So also while you're talking, you mentioned a few things, again, that I've never heard of. So feeder funds, you mentioned those. So those are types of investment funds that pool money from investors and invest into a master fund. So the feeder funds can offer flexibility in terms of investor status, tax status, minimal capital investments, and other attractive administrative features. Give me some examples of those feeder funds.
Yeah, absolutely. BlackRock is a great example of an investment company that utilizes feeder funds. They use a structure sometimes called master feeder. And this means that each feeder fund invests all of its assets into a corresponding master portfolio.
Got it. So they go into one big and then the company says, okay, a little here, a little here, a little here.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Now you also said interval funds.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Peloton. The intervals on the bike, up, down, up, down, up, down. So when you said interval funds, they're also pooled investments.
Mm-hmm.
And they allow the issuer to repurchase fund shares from its shareholders at a certain point in time, aka an interval.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing about these is that shareholders choose if they want to sell or not. So the company can say, hey, I want a few of these shares back. And as the shareholder, you can say, you're within your time. Sure, take them. I'll sell them back to you. Or actually, I'm going to hang tight with those. Who are some companies that do interval funds?
Yeah, Oaktree Capital has an interval fund. And for example, they offer exposure to distressed debt, which allows smaller investors to participate again in a asset class that has traditionally been reserved for institutions. So again, seeing that become more widely available to investors more broadly.
Move out of the way, big players. Us little guys are coming through. And then there's the one last thing that you talked about, tokenized shares.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking like tokens for the games.
Like Peter Piper Pizza?
I was going to say Dave and Buster's.
Oh, fair enough.
How are you? How did you pick the older one over me?
I don't know. I have fond memories of going to Peter Piper Pizza.
I guess I have nephews, and so they always want to go to Dave and Buster's.
Yeah,
so we'll
go
with that.
Fair enough.
So tokenized shares is a process of representing ownership of an asset digitally on a blockchain. And fractional ownership enhances liquidity and traditionally illiquid asset class.
Yeah.
So tell me about some of those bad boys.
Yeah, absolutely. There's platforms like T0 and Securitize that are breaking down the ownership into smaller tradable pieces, which allows more people to invest in alternatives, as opposed to having to invest a huge, huge chunk of money. You're able to invest into a smaller fund, which is pretty cool. Yield Street is also another example. They offer fractional shares in assets like litigation finance, real estate, and even art. And that's really cool because if you think about art, most of the people who have been art collectors or art investors, they you typically had to have a lot of money in order to access that market. And so now you are able to own a little piece of the art, which is pretty cool.
That is cool. So do you want to go in on a Monet with me?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's see if I can find one. So let's talk about some of those industry leaders and platforms that are really leading this charge in democratization, like firms like Hamilton Lane, Blackstone, and KKR. These are probably names that we've all heard before. These firms are making private market strategies accessible to the individual investor. Again, the little guy is taking charge through new product offerings. These companies have actually launched private wealth divisions with their staff dedicated to working with a network of advisors. This is how important this is to these companies. Like they have shifted the way that they're doing business and they've created these whole divisions because they want to deliver products that have innovative structures like lower minimums, no drawdowns, simplified tax reporting, and regular liquidity windows. So again, we want to make sure that the small guy has a chance to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And other platforms like iCapital, Fundrise, and Yield Street are giving retail investors the tools that they need to be able to access these opportunities. And not only do they offer access, but they also provide educational resources for these investors to become more knowledgeable about these types of investments, and also helps them navigate the complexities of alternative investments that we know can be tricky or confusing.
Yeah. Trust me, my head is going around in circles right now. So you're right when you said that the landscape is like completely and utterly shifting. So I think we've covered enough to confuse our listeners for today, even though we've only covered a small portion of this report. Yeah. But let's just quickly go over those key takeaways real fast.
Yes. So there are a few key takeaways from today's episode. The main one being that there's been a shift from institutional to individual investor access. Retail investors have the ability to participate in private markets or investments that were previously only available to large institutions. Technology has been a key player in that shift. Platforms and tokenization making it easier for individual investors to access alternatives, whether that be through the internet or an advisor that now is more educated. There's a lot of different ways that people are getting involved in these investment opportunities, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. There are democratized products that have been popping up, which has also made it easier for people to invest. Interval funds, feeder funds, tokenized shares, these are all providing more opportunities for investors with lower capital to get involved and to invest. You don't have to have $500 million to invest in some of these investments that you might have needed in the past.
Yeah.
And also, industry leaders are paying attention and they are driving this shift. Firms like Hamilton Lane, KKR, and Blackstone are leading the way in making alternative investments accessible for everybody.
I love that. I like being included. So, you know, FOMO, that's a thing.
That is a thing.
So that's all for today's episode in Alternative Investments Chat. We hope you've enjoyed the discussion of democratizing of alternative investments and how you can explore the opportunities available for you.
Yeah. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for more insight on our next episode. And don't forget to subscribe to continue the journey with M2i. See you next time.
Content provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as professional, financial, or investment advice. This podcast should not be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy any securities. We strongly recommend that you seek advice from a qualified professional before making any financial decisions.